So today we are concluding our Advent series. We've been on for the last 4 weeks, called Home for Christmas. And in case you didn't know, for the first time in 3 years, Cameron is home for Christmas. Yeah. Anyways, so we've been looking at how the Bible makes it clear that God intended that He would be our home. That was His intention, that His presence, He would be our true home. We were made for relationship with God. And the first humans were very much at home in the presence of God, in the garden that He made to be with them, right? The Garden of Eden was the overlapping of earth and heaven, the place where God was meant to be with humanity. But that intimate relationship was broken when humanity rebelled against their Creator, and sin introduced death into God's good creation. And humans found themselves living in exile away from God's presence because their self-orientation was no longer compatible with God's goodness and holiness. And we have been seeking for home ever since. Our hearts have a homing beacon in them that wants to find its way back to His presence. At Advent, the traditional Advent themes are, and we've been following them with our Advent candle, are hope, peace, joy, and love. And we today are talking about love. Talking about love. These four things, hope, peace, joy, and love, are things that the human heart longs for as we long to be home in God's presence. We're made for those things. Hope, peace, joy, love. And when we don't have those things in our lives, we actually begin to shrivel in our soul. Love. God doesn't just love us because He's under some kind of priority or some kind of obligation to love us. But love, we find in Scripture, love is core to God's being and character. So it's not so much that God can love us or that God can love, but that God is love. In fact, 1 John chapter 4 says 2 times in that chapter, God is love. And so all of God's actions are motivated by love. Before we talk about how God's love is displayed in Christ's coming, we need to define love a little bit this morning. What do we mean by love? What is love? We don't mean some kind of marshmallowy niceness, right? That just says, humans, just go do whatever you want. If a parent, I don't know if you've heard about, you know, modern parenting trends, right? Gentle parenting. You heard of gentle parenting, right? And you know what? I think sometimes pendulums swing, right? And there's a lot of people who need to learn from gentle parenting. There's also a lot of people who need to learn firmness in parenting, right? But if a parent doesn't want to suppress their child's freedom and their desire to express themselves and just lets them run out of the Walmart front door into the parking lot as they wish, that's not very loving, is it? Right? In that moment, love creates boundaries because love cares. Right? Love for the child in that situation establishes boundaries no matter how unloved the child feels in that moment. They may say something like, "You're being mean." I hear that phrase a lot these days. "You're not being nice to me." Well, it's not my job to be nice. It's my job to make sure you're safe. Right? So sometimes love lavishes gifts, and sometimes love corrects or rebukes. Sometimes love feels nice, and sometimes love is tough. Love is seeking the best for the person and not always giving them what they want because we are for them in a bigger way. Right? That was interesting timing, Scott. Is love a feeling? Is love a feeling? Well, yes, it can be. But it's so much more, right? I mean, we know, as humans, we know what love feels like. We know when we are being loved and cherished by another person. We feel a sense of belonging and safety and connection with that person who is loving us, right? In fact, we desperately, as humans, we desperately long to be loved. We were created for relationship. We desperately long to be loved, to be really, truly loved. And sometimes we make all kinds of foolish choices and decisions out of a desire, just hoping that someone will notice us, someone will care for us, someone will value us and love us as we are. We want to feel loved. And we may not even realize that this is part of us longing for our true home, to be loved by our Heavenly Father. But love is more than a feeling. Yes, we feel love, but love is more than a feeling. It's also a choice to act in loving ways towards someone, whether we feel anything or not. Feelings are tricky, aren't they? Feelings come and go. Sometimes we can be deceived by emotions of the moment and all of those things, right? Feelings are tricky. But love, if it is the real thing, stays faithful in every season. It stays the course, even when it's spurned or not returned. God's love is not just like our love, only bigger. Right? God's love isn't just our love bigger. But God's love is an entirely different, is love of an entirely different order. Psalm 136. Work with me on this. So it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Say it with me. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. And in fact, that's the first three verses of the chapter that has 26 verses. And every one of those 26 verses says, his love endures forever. I think the psalmist is trying to make a point, right? His love endures forever. Our love doesn't, though, does it? We have a best friend, and something happens, and the friendship is broken. A husband and wife vow to love each other to the day they die, and love grows cold, and the marriage finds itself ending. A brother gets his nose out of joint about something and won't talk to his siblings. A disagreement happens between a parent and child, and they go a decade without talking. We often don't love well or struggle to love well, even when we're loving our loved ones. And yet Jesus calls us to love our enemies. How are we doing at that? Right? But God's love is so qualitatively different than our love that the love of God displayed in Christ actually redefined love for us, the Bible says. 1 John 3:16, you've heard of John 3:16. We'll get to that one. But 1 John 3:16 says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Jesus redefined love for us in what he did, but then he invites us into a kind of life where we are called to follow in his footsteps and love the way he loved. So love wasn't just redefined in some philosophical way by what Jesus did, but it's actually redefined in the way that we are called to behave and live. To lay down our lives. And you know what? It's way easier to just die for somebody than it is to die daily for somebody. But we are called to lay down our lives for others. It's love. 1 John, a few verses later, 1 John 4, verses 8 to 11 says this, whoever does not love does not know God. Because God is love. There's one of the instances of that. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. We're about to have a definition. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Something he didn't have to do, but he was motivated by love to do what would bring life to us. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. There it is again, bringing it down to how you and I live. The way that God loved is what we are called to live out as well, right? All right. Told you the preacher was going to be shorter today. I got like four rapid fire. Is it four? Five. Five rapid fire points here. We're almost done. Kids okay? All the kids okay? Yeah? Doing all right? All the big kids okay? All right. Good, good. Awesome. It is God's love. It is God's love that created us. It was God's love that created us. God didn't need to create us. He didn't need to be loved in some kind of pathetic way, right? Some kind of neurotic way. But so God was complete within himself. He had need of nothing, but God is love, right? And love desires to express itself. Love desires to lavish itself on others. That's what love does. Love desires to express itself. So God created humans for relationship with him. He created us to be in relationship with him. And our purpose in being created was to know him and make him known. We're told in Genesis that we were made to be imagers of God in creation. We're made to know him well and then go and image him to the world. Right? But we failed our purpose when we rejected the love of God towards us to choose our own selfish path. And so it was God's love that sent Jesus. God was not okay with the state of his loved ones living in exile, living in separation from him. He was not okay with that. And so John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." So the incarnation, it's a big theological word, but the becoming flesh of God, the incarnation, God veiling himself in human flesh, in the flesh of a little baby, an incredible miracle that blows our mind, but the incarnation happened because of the unstoppable love of God that planned before the beginning of time to step in and to make a way for selfish humans to be forgiven and reconciled to God so that we could continue to be in relationship with him. Right? God could not stomach our exile, and his love caused him to act. And so the King of Glory became a baby in a manger. He became poor that we might become rich, it says in Corinthians. Right? Not only did he come, but it's God's love that died for us. That baby in a manger grew up. The nativity story is not just a cute baby story, but it's the beginning of a plan that God was unleashing on the earth. Jesus came for a purpose. He came to bear the sins of humanity. He came to die for our sins, the Bible says. Only a human could pay the debt of sin for humans, But only God could bear the weight of our sin. And so God became one of us to carry our burden to the cross. And he became a curse to break our curse and set us free. 1 Peter 2, verse 24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls, Peter writes. It was God's love that died for us. It is God's love that seeks us out. Many of us in this room can tell our story of how God's love sought us out. We were minding our own business in our own mess, in our own selfishness, pushing forward in our sinful, rebellious lives. But God's mercy interrupted our path, and we encountered a love that we could not have imagined. It was not that we loved him, but that he first loved us. It was not that we found him, but that he found us. It was not that we were looking for some kind of fire insurance to stay out of hell, but that heaven stepped into the hell we were already living and pulled us out of the muck and set our feet on solid ground. Others of us listening today are being sought right now in this moment. And the love of God is apprehending you. His kindness is leading you to repentance, to stop trying to make life work out your way and to let him have his way. And lastly this morning, it is God's love that adopts orphan hearts into his family. God's love welcomes the prodigal home. Jesus told the story of a father with two sons. We're not going to tell the whole story today. Most of you know the story. But Jesus told the story of a father with two sons to contrast the attitude of religious people with the attitude of the father towards lost and broken people. Because religious people like to find ways to feel better about themselves, and so they judge lost people because it makes them feel better. They've gotten better at wearing masks to hide their own brokenness. But in contrast, the father is watching the road for the wandering ones to turn back to him. And the moment he sees them turn, he comes running to embrace them and to welcome them home. Galatians 4, verses 4 to 6 says this: but when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship, because you are his sons. God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. When we come to know God, We put our faith in Christ and we come to know God and His love. He puts His Spirit in us, and there is something inside of us that knows I am home. And it calls out, Abba, Father. Are you ready to come home this Christmas? Let's stand. We're going to sing a song just as a song of response to the Lord this morning. But as we do, I want to encourage you, no matter where you're at in your spiritual journey, and we're all at different places. And it's okay that we're all at different places. Because you know what? God's love for you is as unique as you are, is as unique as your DNA, is as unique as the thumbprint on your hand. That God's love for you is unique. He loves you. God's love for humanity is not just some blanket thing for a faceless mass of humanity, but it is detailed, it is specific, and He has your number this morning in the very best way. He loves you. He desires that you find home in Him. So we're going to sing about the love of the Father. And I want you to consider it just an invitation song to your heart this morning. That you would respond to the Father's love. pray with you just before we shift gears, but I just want to pray with you today. If you don't yet know forgiveness, the hope, peace, joy, and love of knowing God in your life, I want to offer an invitation today, that today you would respond to Him. That you would say yes to the love of God extended to you today. There's an invitation. If you sense just a tugging on your heart, on your soul today, something's happening inside of you, I want to tell you that that's the Holy Spirit at work, drawing you to Himself, inviting you to come be a part of the adopted family of God. So Father, I pray for every person in this room, every person watching online today. God, for those of us who know your love, give us the strength and the courage to live in your footsteps, to live the kind of love you've called us to live, for our loved ones and even also for our enemies, that we would love like you've called us to love. For those of us who maybe sometimes hide behind our religion, instead of truly embracing the love of the Father, we need to repent as much for our religion as maybe others need to repent of their sin. And we need to come running to the Father. And for some of us in this room and watching online that are on a journey of faith and haven't yet crossed that line of faith to say, yes, I trust in Jesus for what He has done for me, God, I pray that you would draw them today. The God, if today is their day, that they would say yes to you. That you would reveal your love and your goodness to them today. That they would find you irresistible. In Jesus' name I pray.
The altar is now open for anyone who feel need to come. Today is truly the day of salvation. This is the day, the acceptable day, to make things right with God. So I would invite you, as the pastor just did, to come. If you've never made that commitment to Christ, come. There'll be those here to pray with you, to encourage you. And maybe there's other needs in your life today. Maybe you need that fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Maybe that fresh touch of His love today. God today, by His Spirit, wants to give you a fresh baptism of His love that you can shine brighter in this world. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor, for the encouraging word today. But come this morning if you like prayer. God bless you. Have a great day. And if you would like to fellowship today, we would just ask you to do so in the foyer. We're making this sanctuary a place of prayer. God bless you.